Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go.
This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
It's the Melchester Odyssey. We're back into the best of Roy the Rovers, the 1980s. 208 pages of scorching soccer action. And we're, I think we're nearly halfway through this.
Yeah.
Of the book.
And it's amazing how much has happened, because this is only supposed to have taken place in the course of one season. But I've just... before we started today, flicking through the early pages from when we first started this book many months ago, and Roy looks very different. The thing that changes his the most just over the course of where we are now is his hairstyle. He's got he's at the beginning, because it's sort of just coming out of the late 70s, his hairstyle is sort of like, it's almost like a bob or a page boy.
It's like it's a lot shaggier, isn't
it's
it?
It's a page boy type look, right? And he looks younger and more angelic. And then where we are now, which is towards the end of the same season, his hair, it's very much, it looks like it's gone into the early 80s. So he's gone from looking like a 70s kind of guy you'd see in the audience on Top of the Pops to an to an early 80s kind of guy. I mean, he looks a lot like Paul Nicholas, I would say.
The Roy that's in the top left of the page... which has stayed the same.
His old Roy.
His old Roy, yeah, but new Roy looks a lot...
He's bigger as well, isn't he? He's buffer.
Yeah.
Remember, he's spent this time... Oh, no, hang on, I might be getting ahead of myself here, because remember, I'm reading this with Len at the same time as reading it with...
No, he does look, a bit burlier.
He's burlier, he looks older, more distinguished, and his hair, I think a lot... If you look at the panel, not to get ahead of ourselves, but on the right-hand side where he's just one of those ones where it's just his face talking, I think he does remind me of Paul Nicholas in Just Good Friends.
Yeah.
Which would have come a couple of years after this, I think.
He was almost probably the inspiration for the character
for
of
the
Vince Pinner. In Just Good Friends. Yeah. I think it probably was,
Come on, Penn. It's just been a misunderstanding.
Oh, and he wanted a bit of leg over.
I just had a bit of a misunderstanding, that's all. you know, that character, he was the first person I ever saw smoking a pretend cigarette. Remember, he was...
yeah,
do you remember
he did,
that?
Didn't he?
And it's like, it wasn't that he was trying to give up, he just thought it made him look cool. Different times. Yeah. You wouldn't have been allowed to do that on... Was it a BBC show?
BBC One, yeah.
Yeah. Great show, though, isn't it? Across the Class Divide... I mean, if you think about it, Love Across the Class Divide was almost the dominant theme of sitcoms during that era, because To the Manor Born was similar. He was like nouveau riche. I told you he lives around here, right, Peter Bowles? I see him around.
Yeah, have you?
Yeah.
I don't think you've told me that one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Him and Lineker, Fucking, that's a good one, isn't it?
The three of you together...
Oh, imagine that.
In that media hub where you all
in
hang
my
out.
Media hub, yeah. Or we could, I could say, lads, we're all sort of significant public figures from round here. Who wants to form a little weekly
band?
Card school. Card school.
Yeah.
Bridge.
Big stakes, though. Not the kind of stakes
massive
the
stakes.
Normals would get
involved
in.
Yeah, that's it. What we'll do is, lads, we'll price out all the civilians, right? By making the entry stake a wanna, right? That way we keep the riffraff out, and we can just
say though
we can just talk about media stuff.
I'll just say though, Peter Bowles will take you both to the fucking cleaners.
Oh yeah, destroy us.
Of course he will.
Yeah, he'd be a right ringer as well. He'd go, okay, do you play much cards? I dabble. I sometimes in my past. When I was doing national service.
On, Yes, I played once on a cruise ship in the late 70s.
Yeah.
But not since then.
I did national service in the Middle East in the in the 1950s, and we had something of a card score there with the officers, but I was never particularly successful. Yeah, right, you fucking cheeky cunt. You've got every fucking trick in the book, bloody James Bond.
Keep away from him.
Yeah. But Pete, that was a love across the class divide. Obviously, yeah. Just good friends. The good life, a little bit earlier, but the good life, they were sort of the same class, but
there was a class element to it. There was a class element
because Margot saw herself as above Tom and Babs, you know.
And they both wanted to shag each other as well. But they never did it.
Tom and Margot wanted to have it off. Margot was more, she was desperate for Tom to give her some rough sex.
But then, what was he called? It was Tom and Barbara Jerry. And Margot. And Jerry drunkenly admitted to Barbara once that he fancied her.
Oh.
And something almost happened there in one of the episodes.
Fuck you now.
That would have been good.
The 70s. I mean, it was just normal. If I saw on a TV show now, even if it was a comedy, like a couple sort of having open sexual chemistry with each other and flirting and even propositioning each other and then laughing it off, I'd write to, I've never written to the BBC before, but I would fucking write to the BBC about that.
I'd go to fucking Ofcom, Sam. I'd go straight to Ofcom.
Yeah, fuck the BBC. I'm going straight over their heads.
You're not going to get nothing. If the BBC's putting that sort of filth out, you're not going to get any kind of satisfaction from there. Go straight to Ofcom.
Yeah, I would. Like, what the fuck is this? What are you trying to encourage here? No wonder society's crumbling. Marriage is fucking sacred. I don't want to live in a world where you can't have your mates round for a Friday night curry without, you know, someone making eyes at your missus or vice versa. No way.
Yeah. It's disgusting. Getting back to smoking on TV, I've been watching some episodes of early Corrie. Well, not early Corrie, 1990s Corrie.
Oh.
That's on ITV3 of an afternoon. And the characters on there all smoke. Openly.
Do they?
Yeah.
Great.
That wasn't that long ago, was it?
No, it wasn't. I mean, you know, I can't remember who banned smoking in public places. Presumably that was New Labour.
Blair, innit?
Yeah.
Of course it was.
Of course it fucking was.
Sick. It's fucking nanny state.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Are we doing Roy the Rovers? Is that what this
Roy
one is?
Roy the Rovers, yeah. So anyway, his haircut's changed. But to catch up on what's going on the pitch, they are in a relegation dogfight, aren't they?
Very much so, but
or as I call it, a relegation dog pile.
Oh,
I just like saying dog pile since you introduced
me
to the term.
The kind of phrase that would be used in one of your Friday night sex parties that you just mentioned.
Hey, Friday night sex party. Lineker's coming round with his latest bit of skirt.
With Peter Bowles. Peter Bowles is going to fuck all the women.
Peter Bowles has got a lovely but quite elderly wife, but he always ends up having sex with everyone else's wife, so...
Yeah, sometimes accidentally.
He's the only show in town.
Friday night Peter Bowles dog pile around at Sam's.
I'm like, does anyone want some peanuts? I'll put on that Hell's Angels documentary in a minute.
Shut up, Sam.
Shut up, Sam. You're fucking ruining it. You sexless, untriggerable dope.
Pass me a wet wipe, Sam.
Oh,
I'll use the
hell.
Curtains
why,
again.
Why is it that Peter Bowles is about 40 years older than me and yet can still achieve more regular and substantial erections?
That's probably down to the fact that he's probably just had them constantly.
I tell you what it is, though. It's breeding. It's breeding, isn't it?
It's breeding. He's probably put the hours in as well.
Mm.
Which you probably haven't.
No.
Quite so much over the last few years of parenthood and stress with work
exactly,
and all that.
Exactly, I don't train my penis.
Yeah.
Whereas he probably does
top condition.
Regular morning cock exercises. That's what they teach him at public school, mate.
Yeah,
you know.
If this didn't have a title of the Melchester Odyssey, it could quite easily, this episode could be called Peter Ball's Cock Exercises. And it'll be all the better for it. But, are we going to get onto Roy the Rovers? We try.
They're in this relegation fight.
Yeah. Yeah, at the beginning of this latest one, it says, although Melchester Rovers were in danger of relegation, thousands of fans followed them to Kelburn. Let's not forget Kelburn is in London. For the fifth round of the FA Cup, after Blackie Gray had given them the lead, Rovers decided to, in inverted commas, sit on their one-goal advantage. And Roy's worst fears came true when Kelburn equalised with an incredibly lucky goal. And there it is. They're all standing around, scratching their heads. Baxter scratching his head. Yes. Charlie Carter looks stunned.
Fucking Noel Baxter scratching his head. He's always making errors, and then he fucks around. He doesn't concentrate on the game. Something goes wrong, and then he turns around and goes, "Oh fuck, what happened there?" And it's like, no, what do you think went wrong there? You weren't concentrating because you were doing your shitty jokes,
thinking about your latest prank.
Yeah,
he's like Gazza, but without the skill and ability.
Gazza could get away with it. Noel Baxter can't. So. Fucking sharpen up or ship out back. So that'd be my message. But like I said before, Roy, there's not enough pressure on his team. Everyone feels like they're guaranteed a place in the side no matter how they perform. And that is his biggest flaw as a manager.
Well, it doesn't give them any guidance. He wasn't going to give them any guidance in the last episode. He said, I'll wait till half time and then give them a rollicking. You're on the fucking pitch with them.
Yeah, that's
if there's any message you need to get to them. You're in prime position to do it.
It's the whole advantage of being a player manager.
Yeah.
Fucking
so hell. The Kelburn players are turning away, celebrating, and Roy's just tearing a strip off them. Don't say I didn't warn you. Playing on the retreat leaves us wide open to flukes like this. You fucking arseholes.
And then Charlie Carter fucking chips in.
Yeah.
He goes...
He's right, lads.
He's right, lads. We've got to come out now. Charlie Carter is still frozen to this fucking line. Is still with his arms out, like he doesn't realise the ball's gone in. It's like, shut up, you fucking statue.
Let's not forget, let's turn back a page and have a look at Charlie Carter's positioning for that goal.
Yeah, he got lobbed. He was way off his line.
No, he wasn't. He was to the left of the... He was practically standing next to his left-hand post.
Oh, yeah.
And the rest of his goal wide open.
Yeah. And it's gone in, and now he's standing there like a fucking dope, trying to kind of point the finger of blame on people. Yeah, that's right, boss. They did mock up, didn't they? We've got to change our tactics, eh? Never mind that, Carter, you fucking idiot.
I saw you.
Never mind change our tactics. How about you fucking try diving and getting in the right position, doing the basics right?
But there, the bit of revolt, it says some of the Rovers weren't convinced, especially Vic Guthrie. There's Guthrie shaking his fist in the air and letting his mouth go as usual. There's only a few minutes left and they'll never score two goals like that in one game. Let's hang on for the replay and finish them in Melchester. Down in tools. Try and win the game, eh? Then you haven't got to play in fucking Melchester. Yeah. You have a night off.
That's the spirit, Guthrie, you prick.
Yeah. And then who's that? Is that... I've forgotten his name again. Him there with the black hair. Looks like a pop star.
Yeah, David Essex.
We'll call him David Essex. Yeah. He said, I don't know, Vic.
Oh, this is a fucking shambles.
And next frame, it says, Roy tried desperately to set an example. And his example was to get the ball and take the entire Kelburn team on like himself.
Like the greediest player at school. Like every time he gets the ball, he just wants to score a wonder goal. Suppose exactly. I'll have to do it on my own again.
Yeah, slaloming in and out of them all.
Yeah.
One of them slides in and goes, oomph! And the crowd shout, what a run! But he's still outnumbered! Somehow Roy managed to get a shot in, which is plucked out of the air by the Kelburn keeper. Crowd shout, ooh, close Roy! But that's the way to do it! Let's hope the rest of them take the hint. Well, they're not, because they haven't got the ability to do it, have they? There's no one else in that team to take them on. Blackie Gray's got a few decent touches on him, but he can't fucking dribble through a team.
No, well, the other players that I rate are Paco Diaz.
Yeah, and I suppose he's got a bit of skill because he's foreign.
Vernon Elliott seems pretty good. And the rest of them, to me, are just fucking workhorses, journeymen.
But then it says... And up and under. The Kelburn keeper has whacked it right down the park. Good lad. Fucking route one. Go on. Charge! Shouts someone in the crowd, which no one has ever shouted, ever, at a football team. Urging them to charge. It's not war. Oh, Christ. Leave the ball to Charlie Carter, Melchester, shouts Nat Gosden, the voice of reason. Someone in the crowd must have heard him shout this somehow, because they say, "That's good advice from Grandad Gosden. The Kelburn players won't get near it." How have they heard him? He's in the middle of the pitch on the edge of the penalty area. How have they heard him?
It's packed out as well. It seems it like is. A real yeah. hotbed cup atmosphere.
Yeah, but never mind. That's a minor technicality. But Mervyn Wallace wanted to make sure. Is that Mervyn Wallace, number 10?
Number 10, yeah.
Who's got David Essex? That's Mervyn Wallace.
Okay, No. Mervyn Wallace is the one who looks like he might have been in status quo.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
They both got long black hair. Jimmy that's the
Slade.
Confusion.
Is it Jimmy Slade?
Jimmy Slade, yeah. Jimmy Slade's the one who looks like, yeah. He's got a... Right. You can tell he's the sexually attractive one because he's got a sexually attractive name. Jimmy Slade. Hi, girls. Jimmy Slade's the name. Here's my card.
STI free for 9 months. Get in touch.
You never know where it might lead. But I fucking do. Up to my penthouse apartment.
I like to think of myself as the Peter Bowles of football.
Yeah. I got a little apartment in London, zone 2. That's just a couple of stops from zone 1.
If you want, we could split a cab. But Mervyn Wallace wanted to make sure. Mine, he shouts wrongly as it fucking spoons off his foot. The crazy idiot, shouts someone. He sliced it straight at the feet of a Kelburn player. And Nat Gosden's so horrified by this that his hair's flown off the side of his head. Oh, fuck. I've just turned to the next page. Oh, man. A Kelburn player who looks a lot like Noel Baxter. Again, it's the artist recycling.
The artist is having one of his, like, hungover days.
I've only got 8 players I can draw.
Fucking hell. The thing is, he gets away with it when it's just players who look more generic. But the Noel Baxter template he uses is so... It stands out like a sore thumb.
Ginger perm.
He's got
ginger perm players can you think of from the 1980s?
Yeah, Ginger Afro.
Ian Wallace.
Ginger Afro, one of my favourite Happy Monday songs, right? He's got a fucking Ginger Afro that... No one fucking has. There is, like, a complete, like... There's a massive surplus of red-headed people because it's not just him. There is also, if you look on the next frame down, there's a lad in the crowd who's got a sort of haircut. I think it's him out of the Thompson twins.
Jalapeño.
If you like what you've been listening to on Top Flight Time Machine, why not consider heading over to patreon.com/Top Flight Time Machine where you can subscribe. Not only does your monthly subscription help support this podcast and keep it going, it also gives you access to a huge amount of extra exclusive content.
Loads of extra episodes, yeah.
You'll be getting an episode a day. And pretty it costs much. Less than a fiver, less than a pint.
Whether
a
you
month.
Like it or not. Go to tftimemachine.com/ironfilings to find out more and get involved.
There's t-shirts and everything. I mean, for fuck's sake, what more do you want?
Jalapeño.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Jalapeño.
Look, I fucked up when I was ordering the felt tips. I got double orange. I'm going to have to use them all.
Yeah, and the yellow for blonde is running fucking thin because I'm having to do so many of Roy, right? So it's dried. So I've ordered another yellow, but it can take up to a week to come, right? So... In the meantime, I'm having to do a lot of ginger lads because it's, in fact, The way things are going, I might have to make out that Penny has had her hair dyed orange.
I'll do a special episode that's all about Penny going shopping and getting her hair done and that.
Spin-off like.
That'll work.
Penny races days out. We'll do it as a new spin-off strip. And it's just her up Debenhams or BHS or wherever it is she goes, Littlewoods.
The 9-year-old lads will love it.
Yeah, we could do one Penny After Dark as well, with her like watching a mucky film and touching herself and that. No, that's
Penny on her own, watching The Man of Bone with Peter Bowles in it. Or even Only When I Laugh, because then it's triple threat: Peter Bowles, James Bolan, and Christopher Strolley. and Gupta, the nurse.
Oh yeah, was it a bit racist, Gupta?
For quite racist, quite racist. Yeah, and Richard Wilson as the doctor.
Oh yeah,
early version
I think this is got deep dive potential. I might have a
might have. Yeah.
The theme tunes are IMHAPPY.
That's right.
Were they stuck in this hospital for such a long period?
They were there for about 6 years.
What their ailments were?
I don't think it was ever mentioned what was wrong with them. They just occasionally would go off and have tests.
Imagine the pitch. The doctor would come around. Imagine the pitch. Hello. Is that ITV? Yeah. I've got a great idea. It's set in the hospital, right? I've already got Bowles and Bolam on board, right? So it's a stellar cast. We're going to have an Asian lad as the nurse, so there'll be lots of fucking jokes at his expense. And it'll run because... The thing that we will never say explicitly, but we will, you know, imply heavily, is that they've all, three of them, got a very serious slow burn form of cancer, right?
Snail cancer.
It's one of these cancers that just fucking, it just goes real slow. They know cancer. They're going to die, but it just goes on and on and on.
It's cancer of the shin.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of it. That's what gives the show longevity.
That's the beauty of it.
It's bittersweet. Sorry, are you pitching us? Are you pitching just to clarify, you are pitching a sitcom in an oncology wing of a hospital. Yeah, that's right, oncology. Is that the cancer one? Yeah.
When are you proposing this goes out in, which time slot? Monday, 7 p.m, just before Corrie.
They've had a weekend. They're on a come down, right?
And nice and light.
Here's a sitcom. It's got the light and the shade, right? Because on the one hand, it's saying, "Don't worry, at least you're not an Asian nurse called Gupta," right? And on the other hand, it's saying, "Stop fucking moaning about it being Monday, right? At least you haven't got slow bone cancer of the shin."
But. You know, it was written by Eric Chappell, who wrote Rising Dam, so it's worth having another look, I reckon. Yeah.
Definitely. With a cast like that, it's definitely worth
Even
it.
Even if it's not diveable, I might just get the box set for Christmas.
Yeah.
It's probably on ITV3 all the time.
It's nice to own a box set, isn't it?
Next time I'm watching 1993 Corrie, I'll have a look, see when it's on. Where did we get to that? I don't know. Oh, yeah, ginger footballer. So the ginger Kelburn player has lobbed Charlie Carter quite easily. Carter's jumped about 3 inches off the ground. It's gone right over his head, back of the net. Kelburn 2, Melchester 1. As the final whistle sounded seconds later, Mervyn Wallace goes, "Roy, aye!" Roy just is charging off. "Forget it, Mervyn. Being sorry won't change the result. We're out of the FA Cup!" Fuck!
The dynamic that exists between these people is fucking stupid. It's like, imagine running over to your manager all apologising. "Oh, I'm so sorry." He's playing as well. He should be sorry too. How has he manipulated you all into this? You're all like fucking women in abusive fucking... You know what he does?
Don't hurt me again.
He gaslights his whole team. That's what he does. See, what I do is, Blackie, right, one day this might be you, once I've fucked off to Mallorca with Penn, right, or up to run my little pub in the Lake District, I'll hand the keys to the castle after you, if the price is right. Right, so watch and learn, right? One of the things you've got to do with your team is fucking gaslight them, right? Convince them all that they've gone fucking bonkers and you're the only hope they've got. That way they'll show you undying loyalty, no matter how many times you betray them or hurt them.
just subtly make them think everything's their fault. Works a treat. No one really knows about this yet. It'll become big in about, you know, 2017 or something.
Yeah, but
I'm doing it now. I'm a gaslighting pioneer.
What's great is, right, I'm operating under the radar at the moment. I've come up with this idea, and I reckon it's got about 3 decades in it before anyone finds out what I'm up to.
So, yeah, they're out of the cup. Not even Melchester's magnificent fans, including that ginger one there, could raise a sympathetic cheer. One says, I can't believe it. They just threw the game away. Another one says, old Roy must feel like giving up. It's Roy's fucking fault. It's Roy's team. He's the star player. Never mind Roy must feel like giving up.
Hey,
he's the fucking manager.
I tell you what, he's gaslit the fans as well.
He's gaslit
right,
the fans?
I'm really fucking pissed off about this. And I've half a mind to give up. No, Roy, don't give up, please. Please, you're the only hope we've got. You're the only shining star in amongst all of this mess. Well,
yeah, you're right, I am.
Well, you're right, so you better fucking all butt your ideas up or I really will fuck off. That includes you, the fucking supporters, who I wasn't very happy, weren't singing my fucking name enough. I heard a few cries of Melchester. What about a few fucking There's Only One Roy race?
I did that half-assed run through all their defence and took a shot near the end. I mean, it's all I did in the match, but, you know, I did that for you.
Barely had a fucking
peep
out of you.
Don't say I didn't do anything for you.
You ungrateful dickheads, after all I've done for you.
We know, Roy, we're so sorry. We'll sing louder at the next match. We'll sing your name, we're dead loud.
Yeah, make sure you do. Or I'll be up in that fucking, I'll be managing the dog and duck up in fucking Keswick quicker than you can say fucking up yours.
Well, there's an interview, post-match interview on TV in the next couple of frames, and we'll see if he does any gaslighting in that, shall we?
Yeah.
The last thing Roy wanted to face was an after-match interview, but he had made a promise. So it wasn't like a contractual obligation then, like it is now, where you've got to go out and face the media.
Ah, I promise the cunts. Hang on, I just put on my wide neck collar shirt and give me air a brush.
Can't fucking break a promise. What would I be then? Some kind of monster?
You never know who's fucking watching either. I'm hoping to get on Parky soon.
Can't imagine that.
Could be a money spinner.
I'm down in London anyway. It's Saturday night. Might get me on.
Exactly. I'm hoping. I've written him. I've said if you can get us on with Muhammad Ali and or Billy Connolly, I reckon that'd be a right fucking good trio. And I've always wanted to meet the cunts.
Who have you got tonight? Harry Seacom? Fucking bin him off.
Yeah, fuck that.
I'm better value than him.
Who? Seacom? Count me out. I'm not sitting next to that fucking Welsh cunt. No, thank you. I'm not coming all the way down there on a fucking train to sit next to him doing his fucking fart jokes, right? Now, get whoever it is who arranges these things on a blower to Muhammad Ali's people out in the States. I don't doubt that he's always wanted to fucking meet me. Tell him that I'm up for it, and he's got a chance.
Give me a shout next time you've got Joe Collins and or Peter Bowles. I'll come on then.
But Parky, one last thing. When I do come on, I've watched the way you operate, right? And don't be trying any of that shit with me. Keep your fucking trap shut and let me do the talking. Welcome me on. Leave the rest to old Racy.
I'll deliver a lecture to the nation.
Yeah.
So he's made a promise, he's doing this interview, and the interviewer says, the interviewer's called Brian, it seems, well, Roy, problems on the domestic front, knocked out of all the cup competitions, and you're still in danger of relegation. Could this be Melchester's blackest season? You wouldn't say that anymore.
Yeah, fuck off.
I'm surprised Roy hasn't just fucking landed one on him here. Yeah, everything's going shit, Roy. Care to comment? Bang! There you go. There's your comment.
There's your fucking comment.
Fuck off.
Stick that in your paper. But Roy, we're a television crew. Fuck off.
Whatever.
Fuck off, you clever tit. Is that what they taught you at your university? That's what university does, is it? Get your fucking... Turn you into a clever cunt that gets fucking sparked out on telly.
But Roy handles it well. He says, well, that depends on our last few games, Brian. Red Stoke and Castleton are already relegated, so it's between us and North Vale. North Vale. They're a point clear of us with 2 games left, and we've got 3. It's just diverting. He's just explaining the statistics and the numbers.
Yeah, it's good. He's a politician. The issue. Yeah. politician yeah. trick, that.
You won't see the shambles next Saturday that you saw today. I can guarantee it. There's the gaslighting.
Can't guarantee anything in football, Roy. It's a stupid thing to say.
Yeah, it all moves on incredibly quickly in the next final four frames of the episode.
Yeah.
It says, Roy was right. A week later, a late goal by Roy gave Rovers a narrow 2-1 victory at Dean's Park. But Castleton, even though doomed to the second division, went down fighting in Rovers' second last game. It's there. Castleton have equalised in the last minute. So we've just had two matches in two frames there.
I know. And sometimes we've gone fucking 8 weeks with only one match.
Yeah. So that's the way to do it.
I think they're been having their bored. I'm fucking bored of this. Just get to the end of the season, we start something new. It's like us when we were doing Roy Keane's first book.
Oh, the editor's gone, hey, Skew, what the fuck's going on with fucking Melchester? It's April. Season finishes in a couple of weeks. You're going to wind us up or what? Oh, well, I was going to do the Penny Race story. Fuck that.
Leave that for the fucking summer. We'll get her on her holidays in a few fucking bikini shots. That'll keep them happy over the summer.
Special. Everyone will buy the summer special. They won't even look inside it. So, yeah, they've got a draw at Castleton. It says, at the end of the game, Roy glanced up at Rover's giant electronic scoreboard. It is fucking giant as well, isn't it? The size of the cunt.
Okay. Compared to the crowd below it. I had that built specially, right?
Got that sent over from Japan.
Got it sent from Japan.
64 pieces.
Make all the best fucking pieces. And I fucking had them up, each piece shipped over separately. Six separate fucking ships coming over from fucking Tokyo, right? It's the best fucking scoreboard you can get in European football.
I could have bought two top midfielders with the money I forked out on it, but, you know, got to look good, haven't you?
Yeah, because the best thing is at the end of the season and at the beginning of the season, I always get it to spell out my fucking name in giant 6-foot letters. And when I see that, it makes me think every fucking penny was well spent.
So Roy looks up at the scoreboard and he goes, good grief, North Vale beat Carford in their last game, and they've beat Carford 3-2. That puts them 2 points clear of us. Of course, still 2 points for a win back then. This doesn't I don't know if this makes sense or not. And in the dressing room, all the players are like sitting. They might be cross-legged. They're sitting like a school classroom around the TV.
Around a pretty shit TV that's substantially worse than the TV Roy has in his home. It's a proper one with the teak like casing. It's from Rumbelows.
Roy brought this in when he gave them this one.
This is my old one. I've just upgraded, right? And I was renting it from Granada. But I know the manager up there, he's a season ticket holder, isn't he?
Turn
the
blind eye.
So I did something for his fucking kiddie's birthday, signed a fucking football. He said I could keep it. So you cunts can have this in the fucking dressing room because frankly it's shit, right? And I've got this fucking new Space Age one. Looks like fucking something out of Stanley Kubrick, right, in the house. That's perfect for watching the Blueys on when Penny and the kids are out.
No, you can't come round and have a look, you fucking cheeky cunt. Blackie can, but that's it. He'll tell you what it's like.
Well, it's boss. Last time I was round the gaffers, he had this dead good blue movie that he'd got over from fucking Germany, like Pyra. But the quality on his new TV was absolutely sensational.
I've never seen so much fucking body hair in all my life.
But the thing was, The gaffer's got a great rig, but when the film gets going, like, he makes me watch it from outside the living room. He says I can stand outside and watch it through the crack in the door, but he doesn't like me sitting next to him because he said it makes him feel uncomfortable.
I'm standing there rubbing myself up against the door frame.
But, you know, the gaffer's dead kind, and I said to him, I says, I don't care, gaffer, because stood out in your hallway at your house is still better than me being in my main rig in my house.
So they're all crushed around the telly. Blackie says, why? We've just been doing our sums. We've just been doing our sums and now it's TV time.
Fucking hell, have you?
They've just been doing your sums, what is it now? Fucking little bottle of milk and a biscuit. And but Roy says, so have I, Blackie. In order to avoid relegation on goal difference, we've got to beat Stanbridge City in our last game, .. by 5 clear goals. Get
now,
in there.
To be honest, no, I don't really see it as a problem. It'll be fine. I've just told the chairman. Don't fucking lose any sleep over that.
We can knock out 5-0 any time we want. We just haven't done it for a while.
Haven't been asked. So that's it leaves us on a cliffhanger. And knowing the way that Roy the Rovers is written, the fact that they teed that up by saying they need to win the last game by 5 goals to stay up, you kind of feel as if you know how this is going to play out, don't you?
Well, we'll see in the next episode,
won't
we?
We'll see, yeah. We'll see.
At the end of this one, it says, next week, the most crucial match in Melchester's history. And would you want to give that marks out of 10?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to give that a... I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10 because it's got so much content.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 9.
Yeah, because it's got all those games in it.
Yeah, that's exactly it for me as well. It knocks it up from an 8 to a 9 because of that flurry of action towards the end.
Yeah.
So, we'll now regroup and come back next week and find out if Roy can manage to help Melchester avoid relegation or not.
Ta-da.
Just rest.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.